Expanding the Wilson Snyder universe with expanded interviews. Hear the Wilson Snyder Showgram podcast on our free iHeartRadio app.
Cubs beat them last night. Interesting game. Mike Snyder Sports coming up and more noise out of Berea, I guess, by way of New York.
What else is new?
What else is new when it comes to our Browns? News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Will. Scott Scudarese, producer extraordinaire, alongside. Not here. Gone. Brad Wadella in. Good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, a couple things. Wilson Snyder Facebook, WilsonSnyder.com. Jim Cramer. Now, this is the crazy... I called him crazy.
You called him crazy.
CNBC money guy, runs right
Mad
at night.
Mad money, yeah.
Mad money, and yeah. Sell this, and buy this, and mm-hmm. If I'm being... You know, he's all over the place.
Right.
So he has the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. She agrees to go on a show, and he throws out the term crazy all the time.
Right.
And everybody's crazy to Jim Cramer. So here's his questioning of Speaker of the House Pelosi. They're talking about the whole stimulus thing.
I mean, what deal can we have, Crazy Nancy? I'm sorry, that was the president. I have such reverence for the office, I would never use that term. But it is
hard,
isn't
it? But you just did.
Oh, come
on. But you just did.
You know what I mean. You know
what I
mean. The reverence I have for the office is so great.
Well, what'd you mean? He was, I guess he was quoting President Trump.
He was quoting President Trump. That was his defense.
His defense, real quick.
Yeah.
You know, he just,
on the page, I have the clip of where he calls her, as you just heard.
Right.
Then I have his tweets about him defending it and his apology on
Mad
Money.
Yeah, you got to get on Twitter and defend
it. And I did post the full interview, the full 4-minute clip of that whole thing, so everyone can kind of see and judge for themselves.
Bottom line, are we getting more money? Can you tell? Are we getting more checks?
Maybe.
They're going to send us some more cash?
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows, Bill?
That's up there. All right, Mandalorian, this is big.
Oh, yeah.
Season 2, you got the trailer up there, huh?
Season 2 trailer dropped yesterday.
Cool.
It's out.
You're a fan of this.
I am a big fan of this.
Why?
Well, it's Star Wars 1. I love Star Wars. 2, it's a very good series. It's Western feels. It's kind of got each episode was a different kind of story. And obviously...
Graphics are cool.
The graphics are cool.
Yeah.
And you can see, as the big pop sensation last year was... Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
And it's Baby Yoda's back once again.
Okay. So. All right. So that's up there. You can check it out.
Yep.
And the Indians lose again?
Yeah. This time in timely, weird manners. That's what happens during a losing streak. You always lose one that's just kind of strange.
Yeah.
And this was the one.
Crazy stuff, too. Yeah. All right. Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. Check it out. Post a comment. Brad Wadella. Good stuff, partner.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Appreciate that. Coming up in 5, Bill Zimfer checks in on News Radio WTAM 1100. Bill's story this morning, climate change being added to the list on the presidential campaign trail. President Trump in front of a supposedly a group of uncommitted voters last night. I love when you find people that are uncommitted. They have no idea.
Do you find those?
Is there
people?
An election? At all. I was like that. Undecided.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing a little debate with them on, not really a debate, but he was on ABC last night with that. So anyway, more of Bill Zimfer coming up on News Radio WTAM 1100. 5:15, let's get to sports and maybe some rumors here as well from the Union Home Mortgage Sports Desk. Mike Snyder.
Well, Bill, the Indians and the Cubs going at it. You know, Tribe actually did some things yesterday that were pretty good when you consider they were facing Yu Darvish, who's pitching great ball for the Cubs. They scored 3 runs off of him. They were down 5-3 in the ninth when Frankie Lindor hit a dramatic 2-run homer to tie the game. But then in the bottom of the inning, Oliver Perez comes on. He allows a walk and a single. On comes Nick Whitgren, who hit the first man he faced to load the base. Then this.
The set in the pits to Maben, and he got hit, and the ball game's over. Whitgren threw a slider that hit Maben in the back, and that forces in Chris Bryant, and the Indians dropped their 7th in a row, even though they played one of their better ball games in a long time.
Yeah, the final 6-5 of 7 straight losses. Frankie Lindor, what's going on?
I would say there's pressure. Yeah, there's pressure. We humans, we see how many games we have left. We see the scoreboards. Yeah, definitely, there's pressure. But that's the beauty of the game.
Well, that is that. Now you're wondering where the Indians stand. They are number 8 right now, and there are 8 teams that will get into the postseason. They will send Aaron Civale to the mound. Series finale with the Cubs tonight at 8:15. We'll have it for you right here and free on the iHeartRadio app. Tribe will then be in Detroit for a 4-game series, and the Tigers are actually one of the teams with a shot at catching the Indians. The Tribe with a 4-game lead over Seattle and a 4.5-game lead over the Tigers for that final playoff berth in the East. And, yeah, you got to take a look at it. They've lost 7 straight in a regular season. That would be equivalent to a 19-game losing streak. Well, the Browns are trying to turn the page after Sunday's blowout loss to the Ravens. The problem is there were so many similarities about the way they played Sunday to the way it looked a year ago. And a top topic yesterday, the inability of Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. to really connect on the field. Now, Baker was asked about the third quarter when it appeared that he was really just trying to force the ball to Beckham.
There's a lot of one-on-ones, and we take our one-on-one matchups. I trust those guys, and you know that's what they're paid to do is one-on-one plays. And so that's a certain thing of like my reads are taking me there. It might be, it might have looked that way, but it's a one-on-one matchup.
So. That's what he says. So we'll hear from Beckham at 5:45. Already rumors out of New York that the Browns may be looking to move Beckham. Well, it hasn't worked to this point. It has not. Jedrick Wills on the field yesterday. Jack Conklin not. So we'll see about his status today. How about this? Austin Seibert cut by the Browns. The kicker's been claimed by the Bengals. Maybe as an insurance policy, their kicker, Randy Bullock, got a cramp and missed a kick that would have forced overtime. So we may see Seibert, but there's no guarantee of that tomorrow night. Big Ten presidents have yet to conduct their vote as to whether the season will resume. Indications are they will vote that way, but nothing final yet. Shocker in the NBA, the Nuggets knock out the Clippers 104-89 in Game 7. Denver will meet the Lakers. In the East, the Heat have gone one up on the Celtics in the Eastern Finals. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, WTAM.
Re-election with a capital E.
It's going to happen here.
Let's win!
We're going to win this thing.
Who's going to win?
Let's get it on.
Here's the latest.
Now.
From Cleveland's Morning News. With Wilson Snyder.
President Trump in front of a town hall on ABC yesterday. Bill Zimper in on the trail. More talk about our climate, huh, Bill?
That's right. This is an issue, Bill, that is elbowing its way back into the top issues in the presidential campaign thanks to those wildfires that are just rampaging out west and the tropical weather that is just hitting the southeast of the United States. In fact, here on the East Coast, we're beginning to feel the effects of this because of the smoke from those wildfires, which is causing kind of a haze over the entire East Coast as well. And as a result, this is an issue that's back on the front burner again. Joe Biden, of course, pouncing on this issue, calling President Trump a climate arsonist. President Trump, in his meeting with California officials, really not helping himself when he said science really doesn't know and said once again that it is forest management that is the answer to the wildfire problems out there. But here's why this is important. Back in February, Bill, a national poll was taken that showed the top issues important to voters being health care number one, the economy number two, and climate change, number three. Now, recent polls have had that completely disappear. There's no mention of climate change in polls from earlier in September. The economy, coronavirus, criminal justice, race relations, all near the top of the list there. But this will put climate change back in the debate again, adding to the long list of issues, making this an even more complicated campaign as we head down the stretch. But Joe Biden has certainly latched onto this one, Bill.
Bill Zimper this morning. Bill, thanks much.
You're welcome, Bill.
Facebook even noticing this. They say they're moving aggressively to counter any climate change misinformation that's out there with a Climate Science Information Center launched yesterday to connect users with science-based facts. Quote, climate change is real, the science is real, and the need to understand continues to grow, according to Facebook. So they're going to carefully edit, making sure every information, all the information you see on Facebook, they say at least, is credible when it comes to the whole climate change story. 524 WTAM 1100. Let's go to Louisville. We have heard and watched a lot on this shooting death of Breonna Taylor, the quote-unquote no-knock warrant. Michael, good morning. I would note there was a settlement between her family and the city, but no charges have been filed yet, right?
That's the big note right here. You're absolutely right. It's a record-breaking, historic $12 million settlement between the city and the family after the 26-year-old EMT was shot to death in her apartment while the police were executing this late-night no-knock warrant in a narcotics investigation. But there has yet to be any charges brought against the police officers. Now, the main officer who fired 10 rounds into the apartment has been fired, and we know that the police chief in the situation has also been fired from his position, although not necessarily in regards to the Breonna Taylor case. case, but there have not been any charges brought, and that was the next step. You're seeing that while the family of Breonna Taylor is saying that the settlement is the first step in the process, there are still charges to be brought against the officers, and that's what they would like to see happen here. Usually when you see a settlement, you don't necessarily see a family calling on charges to be made, but you are seeing that in this particular case here. We know that there's already been a grand jury who's been impaneled to investigate the shooting. We know that the Attorney General is expected to announce any kind of a charging decision soon, and we also know that the FBI is beginning an investigation in regards to all of this. So we know that there are people looking into it, but so far, no charges. The grand jury is expected to hear quite a bit of evidence in regards to this, and we know that in order for any of the three officers involved to be indicted, at least nine jurors would have to rule that there is sufficient evidence to believe a crime was committed, and those could be things like three different degrees of homicide, from reckless homicide to murder. They could also make a decision, the jury could, that there would be no indictment at all, or the Attorney General could choose to not present a case to the grand jury and make a decision himself. So there's still a little ways to go here, but the next level is what's going to happen to these officers and will there be charges brought against them?
Taylor's boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, I guess, admitted to firing to police as they entered the apartment, but he thought they were intruders, and of course she was shot and killed then.
Yeah, because this was a no-knock entry, and they just kind of busted in. So, at least according to reports, the boyfriend thought that there was somebody breaking into the apartment that wasn't police.
Boy,
so he fired around.
Right. Oh, geez. And Louisville is awaiting the decision. All right, we'll see. Michael Bauer on it this morning. Michael, thanks much.
Stay safe, Bill.
5 good minutes.
News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. A few legal stories catching my eye, and Loretta Power is going to take us through them. Hi, Loretta.
Hi, good morning.
Okay, Antifa, in the news a lot. There's a mayor in Louisiana a bit upset because there was a fake event, I guess, put up on Facebook. What was this about?
It's hard to believe Antifa stands for anti-fascist.
Right,
but
right.
So this event called for the Cajun comrades to meet at these very high-end areas at 420, arms optional, legs encouraged, clearly very satirical. However, members of the community were quite concerned. They called the mayor, and they left work early. They were very, very upset for because we're scared of what Antifa might be doing to certain areas, especially around in our communities.
Sure.
So, but there's no legal recourse here. And basically, we have the First Amendment. This is clearly satire. So I think the mayor just wants the Facebook group to knock it off.
Without getting lost in the high weeds, I mean, yeah, that First Amendment does say you can do some stupid things at times, which maybe we classify this under. Anyway, let me move on to this. I'm fascinated by the business model Lyft and Uber have, and I mention this because there is an interesting story to California. Some collateral effects in lawsuits and all about Lyft and Uber. Explain this to me.
That's right. So in New York now, they have to do what's called the ABC test in order to determine if an independent contractor is actually an employee. If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it is a duck, and
right.
It is an employee, and it gets those protections. Uber and Lyft are the same way. And I also use this test. I know it's really crude, but I say the stripper test. If a stripper at a nightclub would be an employee under this, then, yeah.
Good point. Right.
It's going to be very stringent for California. It's going to be interesting to see how it all rolls out. I think the unions won pretty big in this.
Yeah, the classification of a driver, if there's a wreck or a lawsuit or something, you know, where's responsibility? All right. And I only got 30 seconds, but maybe that's all we need. Meghan Markle, on one hand, will this woman just go away? But she did sue an agency, paparazzi, just trying to take pictures. She's out with the dog and her little Archie, right?
Yes, this is a new law that hasn't really been tested with celebrity cases. It's out in Canada. So if a paparazzi were to, like, surveillance you, be sure to watch your house in order for you to, like, go out and get groceries.
Right.
Then you could sue them and possibly get an injunction to have the paparazzi knock it off.
Okay. Well, we wish her all the best. But look, you're Meghan Markle. People want to get your picture. Loretta Powers on the Fox News Legal Hotline this morning, taking us through three of them. Thanks, Loretta.
Thank you.
All right, 6:23, a couple aviation stories. News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills, aviation expert Jay Ratliff in. There's a couple interesting stories in the last 24 hours I've seen about passenger jets flying in formation. I want to ask you about that. But first, American Airlines, I guess they they're proposing to have fewer flight attendants?
Yeah, they're actually talking about reducing the flight attendants on certain flights. Now, the Federal Aviation Administration...
In formation could soon be a reality. I read through this headline yesterday. I'm not sure. Explain this to me.
Well, you know, engineers have long marveled that, you know, geese fly in that B formation where the lead bird works harder than those behind it. And for the last several years, Airbus has been working on the same idea where an aircraft on an extended route could use the same principle as with another aircraft following behind it. Now, planes wouldn't be in a V formation or use any sort of a military aircraft formation. The bill, basically, the premise is you'd have one aircraft follow in the wake of another aircraft safely to see if that second aircraft would experience a significant reduction in fuel expended. And if that would be the case on a lot of the longer flights where you would have multiple aircraft heading in the same direction, could you use this sort of wake formation, if you would? And again, if you get too close, that wake can be dangerous, but they're trying to find a way that they can make it so that the following aircraft would use less fuel. And obviously, if they can save money, they're going to do it. The tests have been promising so far, and they're going to continue to work on it as we move forward.
Now, when I'm flying like out to Arizona for spring training, if there's bumpy air, you'll hear the captain come on and say, we've checked with the airline in front of us. There's a plane in front of us a bit, you know, about we're kind of flying behind them already. But this is more of an organized formation then.
It is.
Okay.
In fact, the most scared I've ever been on a flight was the U.S. Airways flight going into Pittsburgh, where we got caught in the wake of an aircraft in front of us, and it was like somebody kicked the back of the plane.
Wow.
Where it started to fishtail, where it felt like the pilot was going to lose control. It was a scary, scary feeling.
All right, flying today, we're still watching Sally, and so's everybody scheduling flights too, huh?
It is. In fact, the Gulf Coast obviously getting hammered, but as far as from a hub standpoint, after 10 o'clock this morning, we're looking at some pretty significant wind and thunderstorms that are going to be moving through the Atlanta area. That hub is going to be affected throughout the entirety of today and all of tomorrow. And the rest of the country looks to be in pretty good shape, but if you're flying through Atlanta today or tomorrow, certainly make sure the airlines have a way to get a hold of you, because some of those flights are going to be delayed and canceled as a result of the storm.
Aviation expert Jay Ratliff on flying and aviation this morning. More on him at jratliff.com. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Bill.
Election with a capital E.
It's going to happen here.
Let's win.
We're going to win this thing.
Who's going to win?
Let's get it on.
Here's the latest.
Now.
From Cleveland's Morning News with Wilson Snyder.
He's run plenty of campaigns and watched even more of them. Political analyst Alex Castellanos checks in on some of the campaign trail talk. Let me ask you this. It almost seems like sound bites. You got to control 24 hours. You want to make sure your candidate's talking about what we want to hear. And maybe what we want to hear is not quite what the candidate wants to talk about sometimes, huh?
That's what happens. And they take polls, they take surveys. They're just fancy ways of saying we actually listen to voters now and then, or actually we hire other people to listen to voters for us and summarize it. So we don't have to. But what both sides are hearing right now is that the economy matters. And that is the number one issue. It's not coronavirus. It's not law and order. Why? Because now there's talk of a vaccine. And so voters are confident that down the road, okay, there's going to be a solution to that problem. So who's going to get me my job back? And it's interestingly enough, it's not law and order. Voters have made up their mind on that issue, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of wiggle room left. When you look at the swing states like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, Donald Trump has a lead on one issue, the economy. And his lead in swing states on that issue is bigger than it is nationally. The economy matters more in a lot of these swing states than in other places. That's to Trump's advantage. That's why he's going there on the economy. And that's why Democrats are worried that Biden has to make a stronger case on the economy, the one issue he doesn't beat Donald Trump on.
Good point. I have heard from President Trump. He's done more in 47 months than Biden's done in 47 years, which is a smart way of saying this other guy's been around much longer. It was a career for this guy. I haven't been here that long, right?
That's right. This other guy's been in Washington 47 years, and now he's proposing to solve your problems. Why hasn't he done it before? It's a pretty effective case that he has. The problem for Donald Trump is that this election is inelastic. It's all about him. Moving numbers in this election is incredibly difficult because Donald Trump is such a polarizing figure. So you can win the argument, but that doesn't mean you win a vote. This election is between the immovable object, Donald Trump, and the forgettable force.
Want to get you out here on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue. I know it's early. It's mid-September. But I know the whole House is up for grabs, third of the Senate. We understand. Is it too early to start thinking which way this could trend as well, or do you think it all may break in the last week on both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue?
Bill, it's not too early. And if you look at the Senate races right now, and I've talked to pollsters and consultants who are doing these swing states, some of them are running great campaigns in state like Colorado, and they fear it won't matter, that it'll all be about the presidential race. If Donald Trump loses a state like Colorado by 2 or 3 points, they think there's no way that the Republican there, Cory Gardner, can overcome that no matter what he does. So right now, Democrats are favored to take the Senate.
Good points, good take. Political analyst Alex Castellanos. Thanks, Alex.
Good to be with you.
Some have said that, yeah, Biden, if he's elected, he's not going to run things. It'll be Kamala Harris. Well, guess what? During a virtual roundtable yesterday, the vice presidential nominee accidentally referred to, quote, the Harris administration. California senator said, quote, a Harris administration, together with Joe Biden. She quickly corrected herself, or did she?
And now, 5 good minutes.
Always, always enjoy and learn something when we talk to our business insider and career insider, Greg Stebbins, on News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Hi, Greg.
Hey, good morning.
I saw a stat the other day. About half of us are in an office setting or leaving, going to work. About a third of us are still working from home. I think a lot of us, I saw another number, about half of us would like to work from home. You, though, have found an interesting story, and I'm looking at the headline. I think Silicon Valley's started this. I don't know if there's going to be a momentum. A lot of tech companies are saying, look, you want to work from home, fine, but we're not going to pay as much. Well, what's the story here?
Yeah, the headline from Fox Business is, why Silicon Valley workers who relocate for remote work face pay cuts. And I think Twitter was the first company to say, you can work remotely forever. Not until COVID ends, but forever, and lots of other companies have followed. And frankly, this shouldn't be a surprise to us, other than how they managed the announcement of this. Now, months later, companies like Twitter are coming back and saying, well, we didn't mean you could work remotely forever, then move to another part of the country where the cost of living is much lower than Silicon Valley, because the cost of living everywhere is lower than Silicon Valley.
Sure.
And that we're still going to pay you the same amount. If you move to, for instance, Cleveland, it costs less to live in Cleveland, so we're going to pay you less. And somehow it seems shocking, given that a lot of people probably thought, oh, good, I get to get out of Silicon Valley. I get to go home to the place I love or some other place I love. And I'm gonna reel in that huge Silicon Valley paycheck. Well, no, it turns out that yes, you can leave, but no, you're not gonna get paid like you were still living in expensive Silicon Valley.
When they were recruiting you, if you will, when it comes to Silicon Valley, the cost of living out there, they gotta have a salary that makes it attractive for you to move, but if you're not gonna live there, they're not gonna pay that kind of a wage then.
Well, so I think you're mostly correct about that.
Okay.
And here's where I think the exception is. And I'm glad you introduced me as the business insider and the career insider.
Yes.
Because I think for most people what you said is true. If you move to Cleveland, you're going to get paid a Cleveland salary instead of a Silicon Valley salary, except if you're the best.
Yeah.
If you're the best, you're going to get paid whatever you want, because they know you're the best, and if they don't pay you what you want, you're going to go from Twitter to Facebook, or from Facebook to Microsoft, or from Microsoft to Google. And what this does with this whole remote working phenomenon means that you can go to work from Twitter to Facebook to Google to Microsoft. And, oh, Microsoft's not even in Silicon Valley. They're up there in Redmond. And you can still live in Cleveland because you're remote working for any of those companies, so you can work wherever you want physically for whatever company you want. The only catch is
you have to be the best.
Get you out of here on this. A little closer to home, we got Sherwin-Williams here in town. I just wonder if you want to stay in Beechwood or Parma and you know sit there and work and instead of going into downtown, I guess in a way it costs them less for you to be in the office. So there's a benefit. I just wonder if this will play out with other companies as they look at the cost of having somebody do work in an office setting versus being at home.
Well, I think, you know, initially you look and you say, sure, it costs them less. But what I think we don't know yet is how does it impact creativity, productivity, teamwork, leadership, all of those things. And then don't forget that Sherwin-Williams is a perfect example. I use Sherwin-Williams when I paint my house, right?
Sure.
But do they also use Sherwin-Williams when they paint the inside and the outside of an office building? And if we cause the entire commercial real estate infrastructure to collapse,
yeah,
what's the impact of that on Sherwin-Williams?
You know,
so it's, no matter what you do, you pull a thread, things start unraveling. It's not always a good thing.
Great point. I just still think there's something about being in the office, being able to go into somebody's office and you know, whoever works next to you, run an idea by, took email them, text them, get on a Zoom call. I forgot what I was going to ask you by the time you get on a call, but I don't know. Anyway. Business career insider Greg Stebbin. Great follow on Twitter, at Greg Stebbin. He's always doing some great stuff for you. Greg, thanks much, pal.
You bet. It's great to be here.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder, with reports from Fox News throughout the morning on WTAM 1100.
And this morning, this time, all the time, it's Best Browns coverage. News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Browns tight end Austin Hooper in. Our visit with Austin brought to you by Dollar Bank. Get everything you want in a checking account, plus a special offer at Dollar Bank. Visit dollar.bank/400. Austin, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know what? We need to get the ball to you a little bit more. I'm a fan. I'll say that up front. I know you want to be political, and it's all on the scheme and the offensive coordinator. But come on, Austin. Can't they find you more than, what, twice?
Hey, I've said before, I'll say it again. I mean, you know, I was brought here. I'm a team guy, right? I'm not going to give you the answer you really want. But, like, at the end of the day, like, if I'm asked to block 50 times or I'm asked to run routes 50 times, I mean, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, I just take pride on whenever my number's called upon and try to execute to the best of my ability. So I'm just looking forward to the next opportunity. Credit to Baltimore. And, you know, we're just ready to get this thing going tomorrow night.
Well, we understand, Austin, exactly. But they did throw to you twice, and you caught them both. And this offense needs to figure some things out. Austin, it's the shortest of weeks possible. You come off of that one. Just a quick reflection. Boy, that Baltimore's really good. We know that. That was tough, though, wasn't it, for you guys on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, credit to Baltimore. They, you know, they came prepared to play. You can tell all three phases, offensively, defensively, special teams. They're very well prepared. I mean, credit goes to them. You know, it's not an excuse that they are, you know, one of the top teams in the league. It just, you know, shows us, gives us a benchmark of where we are now and how we need to improve to get to where we want to go.
That story about the high school players. You know, there's a controversy in Chardon a couple of weeks ago, similar at Little Miami in Southern Ohio near Cincinnati. Two high school football players have been reinstated to the team after they were suspended for carrying the thin blue line and thin red line flags onto the field before a recent game. Oh, by the way, that game was on Friday, September 11th. The suspension of cornerback Brady Williams and a linebacker named Jared Bentley, they attend Little Miami High School, resulted in an online petition calling for the reinstatement signed by more than 19,000 people. The district said this week the students were suspended because they had asked school officials for permission to carry the flags onto the field. So the two asked the school, look, it's 9/11, we got a football game, we want to go out with the thin blue line flag and the thin red line flag. And school officials supposedly said no. The two players went out on the field anyway with the two flags. In a statement from Little Miami, the school board said they had concluded after an investigation into the incident. They determined the students were not, quote, politically motivated. However, they said there was a stance for the insubordination because the kids were told not to do it. District spokesman says the players were told they could not bring the flag onto the field, the two flags onto the field. They're still trying to determine how it happened. The district did hold a ceremony before the game on Friday, honoring victims of 9/11 and first responders in the terrorist attack. The thin blue line flag, of course, has been used as a symbol of support and solidarity with members of law enforcement for decades, but has become, for some reason, controversial. In this case, the school saying, look, the two did ask. We said no. They still did it, so they were suspended. So that's the
story. Hear what's ahead. Traffic and weather on the 10s, mornings and afternoons on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Mark Ballin at Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, checks in on a couple of things on the restaurant and beer front for me this week. This is Bill Wills. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Bill. Hey,
one thing we have not touched on, and it's an obvious thing out there in this pandemic, the way this is set up, the state is relying on restaurant bar owners to police us when it comes to wearing a mask, which we can debate that, but let's set that aside for a minute. It's a frustrating thing on the way this is being done, but I got to hand it to a story you posted at out of Willoughby Soul this week that one wants to try, if you can put some fun in this, try and do it to promote the wearing of a mask. Tell me about this.
Yeah, I thought this was great because the folks at Soul and Willoughby realized that, you know, look, wearing masks is a little bit, like you said, we can debate this, but it is a little bit of a chore, but they're trying to turn a positive into a negative. I give them a lot of credit on that. So they're holding a contest for folks who are in the restaurant. Take a picture of your mask. They're having a most creative mask contest. Social it, tag the restaurant, and they're going to have a contest, and they're going to have kind of match up one mask against another. And I think they're going to have a voting system, and they're going to basically the winner is going to get a $50 gift card. I think it's fun. I mean, granted, it's a bit of marketing and promotion,
sure.
But you know, he's saying, you know, we have to deal with this. Let's make the best of it. I appreciate anyone who doesn't rant and whine. So I think it's a creative contest and good for the folks at Soul.
Yeah, good stuff. Good for them. And look, let's all be friendly. I mean, Mindy and I have been out of different restaurants lately, outside, inside. Get the mask on. Take the pressure off the server. Let's all try and get through this, please. All right.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, Bill. You know, if you're going out and you have an issue with this, yelling at a 22-year-old server who is making, who's working hard is not the way to solve this.
Not at all. Let's just try and get, enough of our public service announcement. now let's go to Stonewater, a great golf course and restaurant, and they've reached out in so many ways. We talked about these kids' cooking camps, I think before over the summer. They're gonna keep this going, huh?
Yeah, the Stonewater Golf Club, the Rustic Grill, great restaurant there. Basically, they had a cooking camp. It went really well.
Yeah.
It was a week-long cooking camp for kids in August. We talked about that. I wrote about it. And it went so well that they're going to do it again, this time weekly, every Saturday in October, two-hour session. I've got all the details online. But what I really think is neat, the general manager of Stonewater had said in a release the importance of this. And I think this is a great point. Now, cooking is great for kids because you're learning some basic math. You're definitely exploring some chemistry. You're laying the foundation for healthy eating habits down the line. And it also it helps build self-confidence. And frankly, it's just a very practical skill to know. It really can't hurt. Some of us learn cooking. I think we all know a little bit about cooking to one degree or another. But the fact that they're trying to start kids off early is just great. And they're doing this in a socially distanced and sanitized way. So I think it's neat that Stonewater is holding this cooking camp through the entire month of October.
Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com has more. Follow him on Twitter, mbona30, and read and see what he's posting always at Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. All right, thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
All right, Tom Hamilton in Talking Tribe, WTAM 1100, Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Good morning, Hammy.
Good morning, Bill and Mike.
Well, the first walk-off loss of the year. I mean, you pointed it out on the broadcast. They overall played one of their better games in a while.
Yeah, I was really encouraged. I mean, for whatever that means. But, I just thought it was a really good game against, you know, two playoff caliber teams, and you know, to score three runs off Yu Darvish, who's having the same kind of a year as say Shane Bieber is having. You know, you get four hits from Tyler Naquin, you get three hits from, you know, Delino DeShields at the bottom of the order, and then Frankie Lindor, guys, is back where he belongs in that leadoff spot, and he's become a difference maker again. And, you know, they hadn't come close to winning a game after trailing into the ninth inning this year. So, yeah, I know it doesn't count as a win, but if they keep playing like that, they'll be fine because, yeah, you know, the pitching will be back to where it was. They've just gone through a little rough patch here pitching-wise.
Well, Tom, Frankie in the leadoff spot, it just works together. All the time you've spent covering the game, you know the game and people involved in it. It is interesting how sometimes there's a spot in the order can affect a hitter, isn't it?
Yeah, Mike. You know, now, Frankie maintains it doesn't, and he is right from the standpoint that, you know, he hit third when the Indians were going to the World Series in 2016. I guess I had even forgotten that, even though it's 4 years ago, and looked it up, and yep, he did, and he obviously thrived in that spot. I think he's a lot like Grady Sizemore. I know they're different players, but when I say they're the same from the standpoint, how many leadoff hitters can win a game with their feet and with their bat and with their power? He just gives you everything that very seldom do you see in a leadoff hitter. And, you know, you could just see his energy last night again from that leadoff spot. And, yeah, I think it's fun to watch him and Javi Baez, too. They're both really good friends, both from Puerto Rico, who moved to this country when they were youngsters to get to play against better competition. And they bring out the best in each other.
Well, Tom, despite the losing streak, they still hold a playoff spot. And even if it's eight this year, it's not as big a difference as it maybe has been in the past, is it?
No, I agree, Mike. All it takes is to be healthy and to have your pitching lined up. The big thing is you don't want to have to win a game next weekend, the last weekend of the year, where you maybe have to pitch Shane Bieber on Saturday or Sunday. You want this thing locked down before then so that you've got Bieber going in game one, because, you know, the playoffs begin a day after, well, you get one day off, and then the American League playoffs are beginning on September 29th. So that's why it's important to make sure you've locked up a playoff spot before you go into that final weekend series against Pittsburgh.
I know it's more important to get there, but the announcement yesterday as far as what's going to happen postseason, the bubble, moving teams around. At first glance, Tom, I guess you look at it and say, you know, I guess whatever you can do to get it done this year, right?
Yeah, I would agree, Bill. I mean, you've got to be able to get these playoffs done where you're not having, you know, teams missing 4 or 5 days because of COVID. I think what you're going to see, I know it sounds cold-hearted, but you're going to be allowed to carry 28 players plus that 12-man taxi squad. You're going to have to bring up players from that taxi squad if you have an outbreak. And if you run out of players, you're going to end up forfeiting. Mm-hmm. They're not going to end the playoffs here or stop the playoffs because one team has a problem. And I do think the one thing about no off days, guys, during the playoffs, with the exception of the World Series, a team with the Indians' rotation depth has an advantage there rather than a ball club that, say, only goes two or three starters deep and can dominate a playoff because they keep using those same guys. But you've got to get there first.
Yeah, that's true, Tom. It could play to the Tribe's advantage. Quick look at tonight's game. Aaron Civale, your thoughts about him against the Cubs?
Yeah, Aaron's been not as sharp lately, and he has to be good because John Lester could wear a uniform from the moon and would dominate the Indians. He's just had that kind of a career against the Indians. So Savali's going to have to be good tonight to get out of Wrigley with a slip.
All right, first pitch, 8:15. We'll have it for you on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Indians, Tom Hamilton and Jim Rosenhaus. Thanks, Hammy.
Thanks, guys.